In a world full of immediacy and demands that it happen as quickly as possible, we can stream television in seconds and expect our food to come out from back in the kitchen in 10 minutes or less, otherwise we start to get mad. In a world where we can become angry if we don't throw that burger out the drive-thru window within 3 minutes or less, I am filled with questions like, how long does it take to prepare a steer from he was alive at this moment, and now you're going to wait while they prepare him, cook him, and actually present him to be eaten in the next sentence? Fascinated by this. You have Abraham, who is, he's waiting out the hot part of the day. It's no air conditioning, so he has to wait it out, and he sees three men just suddenly there, which is pretty impressive by itself. The man was a nomad. He looked after all kinds of sheep and goats, so much so that he couldn't even stay close to his cousin Lot, because they would consume the land and there'd be nothing left and everyone was starving. He had to be a little bit removed from everything in order to look after these giant flocks, and yet he finds these three people out there in the hot part of the day, which by itself is truly incredible. I'm amazed. I really am. And I think about it. You know, he convinces them to wait until he prepares them something to eat. They have agreed to eat something with him. And then he goes and he finds one of his own steers and has it prepared to be eaten. This is a several-hour project at this point, at least. I mean, I can't imagine this being anything less than several hours of the project. If we were a bit of a pig roast, that pig's ready to be roasted, and it still takes forever to grow this crazy thing. I mean, it takes time. And it's truly remarkable in so many ways, because in a world so ready with immediacy, when we are so ready to insist that the things that we want have to be accessible to us right away, there is, within the Gospel, within the first reading, within the readings this week, a reminder that good things take time. And that just because we can find immediate solutions to things is not always the best of solutions to things. Realize that these three angels who visit Abraham say to him, this time next year, Sarah will have a son. That's still time to plan things. That's still a ways away. There is this remarkableness where it requires that we take a moment to actually stop and consider that we don't need to have everything in its immediacy right away. That it actually takes that patience, that development of time, that endurance in order to see things come to their fulfillment. We become hungry for something that we can't quite put our finger on. We become thirsting for something that we really can't quite sate. We long for this missing thing, and we try and find something immediate that can fill it. The challenge is that what we're really missing is God. We have become hungry for God, but He doesn't come out of a drive-thru window. We become thirsty in a way that only our Lord can sate. The Holy Spirit does not come in a little styrofoam clamshell. We become longing for a God and the solutions that He can offer us in His love. But we forget that it takes constancy and prayer to receive these gifts. It's a funny thing to me, but we see all kinds of terrifying things happening in our life. And I keep trying to remind people we need to return to prayer. And unfortunately, sometimes I hear that click of the tongue and that response, all we can do is pray. And I think to myself, we have already forgotten what prayer is, if that is our attitude on prayer. If what we say is all we can do is pray, then we have completely underestimated what it is that prayer does. And there are times where our only recourse is indeed that prayer. But we should never be so crazy as to think that that's something little or something reserved for the end. In true wisdom, we should start with that prayer. In true wisdom, we should return to that prayer constantly. In true wisdom, that prayer should be our beginning, our middle, and our end. And we have to show that constancy in order to see God's plan unfolded before us in all of its incredible gift. Amazing thing is that if we actually look back at our life, some of the most remarkable gifts that we receive come from a God who has given us these things slowly, over time, and prayer. And if you look back over your life and you can't see those things, if you think, no, prayer's never got me anything, I have two challenges for you. The first one is, please look again, because we can often forget the good things when they're not immediately in front of us. My second is that if you really can't find anything in prayer, how much have you been praying? You know, it's a fascinating thing, but Martha and Mary are both concerned about taking care of their visitor. They're both interested in seeing to the well-being of their guests. One of them is trying to make sure that food shows up on the table. The other is trying to receive everything Jesus has to offer. And it is Jesus who says that Mary has chosen the better part. And don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have action. It doesn't mean we don't need food on the table. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have that action present in us. But that's only part of our life. You know, in the United States, we want to be action-driven. If there's a solution, we want to pursue it to the best of our ability and implement it, take that action. What we're not good at, inactivity. Waiting for God to reveal the next part of the plan. Being patient in an uncertain moment so that God can reveal to us something more. You know, it's remarkable, I can point to it in my own life, incredible moments where God, with patience, has shown through with the greatest of gifts. We see it throughout all of salvation history. Consider for a moment that it is not war or an uprising or anything fomented by human hands that brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but rather God. Nobody had to die in that. A lot of Egyptians did die, but nobody had to die in that. It was that same God who brought them through that desert and into that promised land. That same God who looked after Abraham, even in those uncertain moments. It is the same God who continues to look after us today. I tell you what, when I was in college seminary, the academic dean in my second year decided that I was not called to the priesthood, and he told me in my face that he would do anything that it required in his power to make sure that I never graduated from that school. And the next year they didn't renew his contract, so he didn't have a job there anymore, so I didn't have to worry about it. And it's an amazing thing, but it was completely outside of my hand. I didn't do anything. But it was true, as long as he was academic dean, he was going to see through that I did not graduate. And then he wasn't academic dean anymore. Strangely enough, I went on major seminary, and the academic dean there basically told me the same thing. Starting to wonder if there was a pattern to all of this. But I went back to prayer, and I entrusted myself to God. And sure enough, in my fourth year, while he said that he had his reservations, he would endorse me for priesthood. It's not that I won him over with some clever argument. It's not that I wrote him some beautiful letter telling him that he was all mistaken. But I returned to prayer and constancy and allowed my witness to speak for itself through that prayer. It's remarkable in the life of the church how incredible things have happened through that prayer. Oftentimes, when I really want to see prayer at work, I think to myself of the Pope in his exile. Remember that in the not so very long ago, about 600 years, maybe 700 years ago, the Pope was in Avignon, France. King of France dragged him out of Rome and the Vatican States and took him to Avignon. And he was still in charge of Vatican city-states, but he didn't live there. Several generations of Pope lived in southern France. And based on all the pictures, it's a really pretty place. I could tell why it's hard to leave such a beautiful place. It wasn't a war that dragged him back to Rome. It wasn't a threat on his life. In fact, some people actually tried to kill him if he returned to Rome. It wasn't coercion. It wasn't a lack of invitation to stay in France that prompted him to finally return to Italy. But rather the prayer of some very faithful people. And, in some small part, the letters of a crazy lady in Italy. Now we know her as St. Catherine, but you know, at the time, she was just that crazy lady who wrote the Pope every week to tell him she'd return to Italy. I think it's remarkable, really, to think about it. But when we look at the challenges of today, when we look at the many tragedies that we are witnessing in our modern world, I think there's something very important that we have to come back to and not underestimate in science. I'm not convinced there's a simple solution to the larger problems we're facing today. It's not like we just need to do one quick thing or pass one quick law. I know we look for an immediate solution, but I'm not sure it's there. What I do think is that we need to return to prayer. And we must never underestimate what a truly remarkable gift it is that we have prayer, and that instead of saying all we can do is pray, we should in fact be stopping and saying, wait a minute, we should be praying. And with the guidance of the Holy Spirit filling our minds, I think we'll begin to see some greater solutions. And it all comes back to that power of prayer.